Welcome to Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. In each of our programs, our intention is to bring to our listeners the best of people, places, and projects of Northern California that we think you're going to enjoy and that we think are exceptional. Today, our topic is one that is oftentimes controversial and challenging, but I think it's good to educate ourselves and inform ourselves about what is transpiring in Northern California. So we're going to be talking about the reintroduction of wolves in California and the impact it's had upon ranching. So I invited into our studio today someone who is an owner of Prather Ranch in MacArthur, California, and is the former Shasta County Board of Supervisor, Mary Rickert. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you, Lynn, for inviting me.
Yeah, so good to have you here because you actually are having a very lived experience of this, aren't you?
Very much so.
Yes. So for people that may not know you, I think it's always good to get the background. Sure. So where'd you grow up?
Actually, I grew up in the San Joaquin Valley. I went to high school on the Central Coast, went to Cal Poly where I met my husband, and we have been had a professional farm management, real estate, and a rural appraiser business, plus we also own and operate the Prather Ranch, and that is based in Siskiyou County, and this is where we've had the majority of our wolf issues is on the Prather headquarters off of Ball Mountain Road in McDowell, California. And we're surrounded on three sides by U.S. Forest Service land.
Oh, wow. That it's a beautiful area, just as it
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And I should tell our listeners, you and your husband own Prather Ranch.
Yes, right.
And Jim. So it's wonderful right. that you two yeah. are so invested in the North State. And, you know, it's a beautiful region. And, you know, I know that as a former Shasta County Board of Supervisors, you dealt with lots of controversial topics.
Absolutely.
Right there in the throes of everything that was going on. Does the county have a specific perspective on the wolf reintroduction?
Well, I'll talk about Siskiyou County because that's okay. where we've really had the worst problem. We've had the whaleback pack in Siskiyou County, and that's the pack that's it's grown tremendously. I know last year there were 10 pups in their den. This year we have 6, and it's splintered into about 6 different packs, and I expect it to splinter into even more. So the population has grown really exponentially. It's really, really increased in numbers. And it's done a lot of damage. And this is a lot, just my personal opinion, and Jim agrees with me. We have lost a lot of deer. And we had a lot of deer on the ranch. They've, for all intents and purposes, have disappeared. And also our bear population. We have a lot of cattle there, and never really had any problems with the bear attacking the cattle, but they sure would come in and try and eat some of their feed and just invite themselves into the water trough once in a while to take a dip. And, and so we haven't seen the wildlife like we used to have. And that was about the time that the wolves decided it was time to go after cattle. And so it started about 3 or 4 years ago. And 2024 was our absolute worst year. We had 21 confirmed kills, and that's confirmed. And it
Wow.
takes a lot to confirm. You have to have absolute proof that it was wolf. DNA testing takes place. And then we also, that particular year, when we shipped our mother cows, we had about 200 mother cows from that location, and we only had 160 calves. So we basically, and you do have some death loss, some, you know, cows will lose their calves, but for the most part, there were 40 calves missing. And so we don't
Oh, wow.
know if it was the stress, the high cortisol levels, or if the wolves just came in and carted the calves off as they were being born. So it's a big problem. And Siskiyou County has been, because they've been impacted more than any other county, except maybe Sierra County, Loyalton area, but Sierra Valley. But they have really had been a lot of depredations in Siskiyou County. So Siskiyou County has formed a Siskiyou County Wolf Coalition, and their board of supervisors have established a wolf commission or task force, where each supervisor has appointed one person from each district. And they have a very, very involved sheriff, Sheriff LaRue. He's every time we go to a wolf meeting in Siskiyou County, he's there and he's very much engaged, very concerned about protecting the ranchers from, you know, wolf depredations. Mm-hmm. You know, cattle are really important to ranchers. They're our livelihood. We care about them. Many of us have, you know, many, many multi-generational cow families on the ranch, and you know, you get to know your cattle, you know, kind of like a pet dog to a degree.
Oh yeah.
And so it's been devastating and emotionally draining, and it's so hard to witness what's happening to these poor animals. They're defenseless. They're not used to being prey.
Yeah.
And they've now become prey. And Jim and I have worked extensively with UC Berkeley. And they have a wolf research project. And they come onto the ranch and they film. We've done a lot of podcasts for them, videos. And one thing that they do is they DNA test frequently. And the last grouping of DNA testing of wolf scat, there was 92%. Bovine DNA in that wolf's gut.
Wow. So you know they're eating.
We know for a fact. Not just eating, that's basically their main diet.
Yeah.
And so it's become a real problem. It's become a real problem.
And let me ask you this. And for those listening, why were wolves reintroduced? Do you know?
I think
because they had
thought it was a good idea somewhere.
Because they hadn't been around until more recently.
No, and they're not indigenous. I know a lot of people think they are, but they're not indigenous to California. This is more of a Canadian wolf that's come down and filtered on down. And I remember it was about 12 years ago when OR7 crossed the border in Oregon. It was very close to where we are in McDowell. And we invited the head of, I can never remember all the different wolf foundation names,
yes.
But Pamela Flick and Karen from another wolf organization, they both came up and they just kind of shook their heads and they said, boy, you know, because of the expanse of the operation and the our location close to the Forest Service land, which, you know, high mountains all around us, right, what's called Ball Mountain, they said, boy, your scenario here is just really not going to be easy for you in terms of coexisting with wolves. And we did fine for many years. We held our breath, and we had game cameras. One thing about Siskiyou County what they've done is they have contracted with a man who used to be their ag commissioner, and he goes out and he sets up cameras, so he keeps track of where all the wolf activity is in Siskiyou County, which has been extremely beneficial to us because you have a good close relationship with him. He lets us know when the wolves are on the ranch, what's going on, and so we can be a little more proactive about trying to get them out of certain fields that might be more vulnerable.
Yeah, that's amazing. So the wolves were not really introduced into California. They just showed up.
They showed up, came over the border.
But why would you put wolves? I mean, to me, if a species has disappeared, mm-hmm. there's a reason.
Well, yes, there's a lot of people on one side of this position that really feel that the wolves should have priority over the cattle. And as a cattle person, I have a hard time with that because I don't see where one animal has more value than another, but that's just my personal opinion.
Plus, the wolves you're saying were not, they're invasive to this area.
Well, what's happened is, and I just attended, Jim and I just attended an event in Southern California, and it was a showing of a new documentary that will be coming out, it will be released in the next few months, and It was a somewhat balanced production. It was very, very well done. The photography was amazing. But the thing that really was kind of concerning to me is that you know, people see wolves and they kind of, I don't want to say glorify them or whatever, but the realities of what they do in terms of killing an animal. And not all wolves just kill because they're hungry. We've experienced that with mountain lions in our own home in MacArthur. We've had a lot of mountain lion kills. We had sheep, and they this one lion came in and killed five in one night, didn't eat them, but just killed them. And that's what wolves do too. And they also, a lot of people don't understand. Now, mountain lion kill is very quick and clean. It's not as painful. They go for the neck. Mm-hmm. They break the neck. And I've had mountain lion kills literally 20 feet from my back door.
Wow.
I remember getting up one morning and there was nothing there but a deer head, four legs, and a rib cage. And so, you know, that's a very real kill, and that happens quick. But a wolf kill, and I really don't even like to describe it, but they go for the hind end, and they kind of disembowel the animal. And oftentimes the animal doesn't die right away. And so they lay there bleeding out in shock, and it's absolutely
gory.
A horrible, horrible death. Just, you can't even imagine. And so it's just gut-wrenching for any of us that are raising cattle to see your animals to suffer and to be picked off like that. The other thing that's really interesting is wolves have a tendency to kind of gravitate towards yearlings. That's probably the equivalent of teenagers. And because they're more sporting, they're more fun to chase.
Yeah.
Cows are not bred to run.
Right.
They're not used to being prey, you know. And so it's a real ugly, ugly scene, and it's devastating for us. It's really devastating. It's taken a huge, huge emotional toll, psychological toll on ranchers. I see and talk with them frequently. I just saw a friend from Hat Creek the other day, and you kind of walk around in a state of apprehension and hypervigilance because it's like, when is the next, big
kill
attack
going to
happen?
And yeah.
And people, and then, you get on Facebook pages and people that are pro-wolf say, oh, well, it's your fault and you're not protecting them. And it's like, you can't spend $10 million and put 10, 12-foot chain link fences around. You just can't afford, you have thousands of acres. And so you've got to be practical about it, too. We've tried Fladry. We've tried drones. We had USDA drone operator come out, and they actually... That story ended up in Associated Press and Wall Street Journal and everything, because what they did on that particular evening is they used music from AC/DC and a fight scene from a movie with Scarlett Johansson.
Oh my.
And it did scare the wolves away. But I have seen video of drones with similar kind of thing in Sierra Valley where they'd had a lot of drone activity. The drones were flying, kind of hovering over the wolves, and the wolves were jumping up trying to play with the drones.
Yeah.
They get used to absolutely everything. And after a while, they're not afraid of anything. And we cannot, as we were told 12 years ago, well, you can use pots and pans and bang them together to scare the wolves away. And we don't have any recourse to protect our own property. And it's very frustrating.
Well, the thing too is you're not going to do pots and pans across your fields where the cows are. I mean, that's just absurd to think of that.
The practicality. And one thing that was extraordinarily interesting to me when we went to this event, there were three ladies also on the panel who represented three different other wolf foundations. And they actually get it. They actually were very supportive of us as ranchers. They said, people need to understand in California, we are not like other states. We don't have the food, the prey for wolves like they do in other states. We don't have the huge elk herds. Our deer herd is diminishing.
Yes.
They understand it. And so it was an interesting evening, to say the least. There were a few people in the audience that were not real happy with Jim and I, but that's okay. I had plenty of experience with that with being a county supervisor. But they really supported us. And they said, we need to learn to coexist. We need to be supportive of ranchers. We need to give them whatever they need, whatever tools they need to be able to protect their livestock. And actually, a couple of them even off, not on the panel, but off after the event, kind of said, if there's a bad wolf, sometimes maybe they just need to go away.
Yeah.
And that's really important. If a wolf's been habituated where they now, instead of looking at a deer, they'll go after a cow because it's a lot easier to take down.
Yes.
Plus our meat tastes a whole lot better, let's face it. And they're going to go after the cow.
Yes.
And so that's what we're there. They also impressed upon the crowd that was there is that, you know, they've just changed their behaviors and we need to work on that.
And, you know, I think it's important for people to realize and remember we as a society are beef eaters.
Absolutely.
And I know that you and Jim do other things besides just do beef for market. So I'm going to do a station ID. When we come back, I want you to talk about some of the other things you do and why you have what's called a closed herd. If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I'm Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation with Mary Rickert. She's owner with her husband, Jim Rickert, of Prather Ranch, and is very active in the ranching world and advocate for all the things that are happening with the wolves. She's also the former Shasta County Board of Supervisors, served for a number of terms, is obviously very engaged in life. And so, Mary, there's other things you do other than providing beef for market with your cattle.
Well, I'll explain our operation. In 1990, we were approached by, and maybe someone would remember, Dr. Terry Knapp from Reading.
I do.
You do. And he had developed a patent for bovine collagen applications. One of was actresses used it to puff up their lips. And so we, because of the location of this herd, and we are isolated from other cattle, we developed the term closed herd, and that's what the FDA uses to this day. So we were, that's part of us kind of paving the way for that whole term. But we can't have other cattle mingle with our cattle. We have our own USDA federally inspected slaughter plant on site. It's 5,000 square feet. And so we have all these standard operating procedures, protocols, and HACCP plans. That's the hazardous analysis critical control points. And so everything we do is to prevent the possibility of mad cow disease. That was the big fear in those days as far as getting clean material. And we still, to this day, do some providing of raw materials, bovine raw materials, to various different companies. Sometimes you might have a dental implant. We ship bones to a company called Hyosin, and they use that material for dental implants. Sometimes we'll send tendons to a company called Oasis, and there's just all these different applications that people use. We had a gentleman out to the ranch to visit that he's working on with some doctors through some Harvard Medical School on doing a plug for spinal surgery that they think they might be able to improve the outcomes for people with spinal surgery. So anything we can do to provide that raw material to improve the quality of life for people is really important to us.
Yeah.
And so Jim and I are also, in 2003, we had the ranch certified humane. And so we go through an audit every single year through Humane Farm Animal Care. A lot of people may recognize that label. It's on a lot of different food products nowadays. And so, and we've known Temple Grandin. If people know who Dr. Temple Grandin is, she's well known in the autistic world and also for animal behavior
and psychotherapy field.
And psychotherapy.
Yeah.
So we do, as I told her one day, I says, "Well, Temple, we knew you before you were famous." And she goes, "Oh, don't worry, I'll still remember my old friends." But she had a great movie, and I highly recommend if anybody wants to watch a very heartwarming and very educational movie, and it won a Golden Globe Award. Claire Danes played her. And it's called Temple Grandin, which is really easy to remember. And I highly recommend people watch it. It's very rare of. And so the reintroduction of these wolves into California has just been a problem. And it's been a struggle with California Department of Fish and Wildlife. A lot of people will back me up on that. We have a new director. Jim and I had a private meeting with her a couple of months ago, and I'm more encouraged with her. Her name is Megan Hurdle, and I'm more encouraged with her, some of her philosophies than the previous director. So I'm really looking forward to hopefully a few more tools in our toolbox. That's what we keep asking for, is more tools in our toolbox to protect our animals. There is some discussion. I know that there's been some counties that have been allowed for the sheriff's department to use non-lethal deterrence, which would include rubber bullets or something like that. And our conversation with Ms. Hurdle was, you know, really the ranchers need that, because if you have to call a deputy to get to your ranch, it could take an hour and the wolf's already done its damage. And she basically understood that. So she's working on that for us.
Good.
And again, this group that we met with on Sunday, I was really pleased with these foundations that seemed to understand. One of them, we applied for a grant and we got a set of night vision binoculars that will help us. So they're trying to support ranchers, and we just need, they need to get the message out to the general public that if you want wolves, you have to basically put your money where your mouth is and help these ranchers stay in business.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's not only in Siskiyou County, the wolves. Isn't it all Northern California?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we know where the collared wolves are. We don't know where the other wolves are. And we had that discussion Sunday night, and all the ladies I spoke with that were on the panel agreed that the numbers are much larger than CDFW thinks it is.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt that it is.
Because they didn't collar all the pups, right?
No.
Yeah.
And no, it's impossible to collar all of them. The other thing is that we have the CDFW, if you go onto their website, they have a link that you could go and find the wolf location map.
Oh.
And you click on that, and it shows these kind of yellowish gold hexagons, and it'll identify which pack it is and where it is. And it's kind of I think it's about a 5-mile radius that it covers. So somewhere in there, they say that there's wolves. However, the problem is, it's delayed information.
Yeah.
And wolves can travel up to 25, 30 miles a day easily enough.
Wow.
And so oftentimes it's old information. So we don't have the advantage or the luxury of knowing where they are at any given time. So it's...
And I would think there'd be more packs than they're aware of.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And I know there's packs that have no collars on them at all.
Yeah.
Because Jim and I are also on a subcommittee with California Cattlemen's, and there's especially cattlemen from Lassa County get on there and they say, we really would like to have them collared because we have no idea where they are unless we see them. And, you know, it puts them in a tremendous disadvantage.
If you see a wolf going after any of your cattle.
Cannot do anything.
I was going to ask. Nothing.
You can
loud noise.
If
or
you're
something.
A half a mile away, you can shoot a gun in the air. But no, it's and you got to realize wolves mostly do their killing at night, which makes it hard to see where they are and what
that's
they're doing.
That's why they do it.
Yeah. Well, that's the other point that was made at this particular event we went to Sunday night, and is that wolves are. They're an apex predator. They are the number one predator, I guess, other than humans. But nobody is higher up the food chain than they are. And it's because they're so smart.
Mm-hmm.
They are really, really smart. And so...
And they work in a pack.
They work in a pack. And we had one lady there that commented, you know, there was a few interesting comments. But she was a wolf rescue lady, and she says, well, they're really nice animals. And I didn't want to get into it with her, but she's feeding them some kind of food and she's keeping them happy, and they've been domesticated more or less.
Wow.
And these are not in the natural environment, and
right.
They're not hungry.
Right.
So, you know, it's a different world.
And, you know, I spend a lot of time in the outdoors, mostly in Trinity County, but you know, there's conversations in different places. Like I remember in Sun River in Oregon, just below Bend, Oregon, everyone's saying, don't let your dog out because the coyotes were taking the dogs. And I've heard of that in areas around here as well.
Yes.
So wolves work in packs. Mm-hmm. And so myself being out in nature would not want to run into a pack of wolves.
No, I wouldn't want you to either.
Yeah. I mean, it's dangerous to humans and it impacts our national parks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people, like I say, they keep talking, if you follow the Facebook pages, oh, it's so wonderful to bring the ecology back into balance. No, we're out of balance.
Out of balance.
We really, truly are. And anybody that drives up and down 299 like I do,
yes,
back and forth between MacArthur and Reading, you know, 5-8 years ago, you saw a lot of dead deer along the side of the road because the deer population was much larger.
Yes.
Those are few and far between now.
Yes.
And the same thing, Jim and I drive Highway 89 from Mount Shasta to MacArthur frequently as we go up to McDowell. And I can remember one night counting, you know, like 60, 80 deer. I was the deer spotter.
Yes, yes.
And now it's not uncommon and you see none.
Yes. The same for me with Trinity County.
So you notice it too.
I've noticed it. And you go all over different parts. You used to see deer. You don't see deer. It's very rare that you ever see deer anymore.
I know. And there's a reason, because the wolves have basically, in my opinion, taken them out.
Yes.
And so that, I think, needs to be addressed at the state level in the worst way.
Yeah.
They need to understand, no, this is not bringing back a balanced ecology, you know, natural wildlife habit kind of environment. It's really gotten things completely out of whack.
It sounds like it. And it sounds very detrimental to the environment, because when you have that significant imbalance where it impacts the deer population, I'm sure in other areas it's also impacting the rejuvenation of the elk herd.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely. And we, you know, we have a pretty good size elk herd out of Bella Vista, Millville. It kind of, you know, roams around there. Mm-hmm. But I don't see very many elk up in McDowell. I mean, I think a lot of them are gone. And, you know, one of our guys that works, he runs our slaughter plant for us. He said, you know, he said, I usually go out and deer hunt every year. And he said, I got to thinking about it. He says, there's just not many deer. I just don't think I'm going to go hunting this year.
Yeah.
And he said, it's just because he feels like there's such a shortage of them now.
Yes.
And, you know, we have a few deer. I think I've seen maybe 2 or 3 in the last 6 months when I'm up in right around the slaughterhouse and the houses. But they will sleep during the day under our solar panel system in the shade. And then they walk over through our yard to the hay barn at night. But they don't go out far away from people. They stay close to people.
Safer.
That is not a natural habit.
No.
Behavior. I mean, that's the point I'm trying to make is that this is really not normal, what's going on.
And what I also have noticed that in the last few years, probably the last close to 10, mm-hmm. something like that, is you used to have sizable deer. We
Absolute.
Don't have sizable deer anymore.
No. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. But it's interesting, you're noticing, and I do know that they've announced that there are wolves now in Trinity County.
I've heard that, but I wasn't from a reliable, you know, I didn't know who was saying it. I didn't know if it was a rumor.
Well, it could be just a rumor, but I have heard that rumor.
Yeah. The conversation says that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think it is true. If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are talking about the reintroduction of wolves into California and the impact it's having upon ranching. And our guest today is Mary Rickert. She is owner with her husband, Jim, of Prather Ranch. And they've been here in the North State for many, many years, have ranching backgrounds, long, long legacy of ranching in Shasta as well as Siskiyou County.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're feeling the impact of what I might suggest is the imbalance of having too many wolves. Do you think that's true?
Well, there's been so many wolves that their natural food source is seemingly going away. And that's what we need to address. And again, I think the Wolf Foundation people are starting to really see that. They're starting to understand that. And so I'm hoping that they can convey that message to people that live in urban areas that understand we need to work on a balance. I know during my time as a county supervisor, I got to know a Los Angeles Times reporter real well. And so I called her up one day, oh, it was about a year or so ago, and said, do you ever cover anything about, you know, the environment and wolves? And she goes, no, but there's somebody on the Times staff, and I'll connect him with you. So he came up, and it was interesting. He spent a day with us, and we had our wolf liaison from Siskiyou County come down. He brought all kinds of videos, and he talked to him too. And he said, you know, at the end of the day, he says, when I came up here, I thought, yeah, right, you know, you guys are just complainers or whatever. He said, no, this is a problem. And he wrote two front page articles on the LA Times about what ranchers are having to deal with. And we also had CBS News up on the ranch too. And I was really surprised. It was a very balanced reporting. And I think they really understood what's going on and understood the impact that this, in my opinion, overpopulation of wolves has had on us as ranchers.
You mentioned the Wolf Foundation. Mm-hmm. What's that organization's objective, or what are they about?
Well, again, that's just one example. There's several. Uh-huh. There's one called Working Circles. There's two or three others, and I can't remember all of their names. But basically, they're supporters of wolves, but they're also seeing that there's a real problem, and that they're reaching out to ranchers and being supportive of the, if they have donations, they'll take that money and they'll offer grants for ranchers or for people that are studying wolves. That's another thing. We've had a grad student spend a lot of time on our ranch from Colorado State. And when we start calving in August, probably in about 6 or 8 weeks, we're going to put little flicker lights on their ear tags, because we have to tag our calves' ears shortly after birth because of our biomedical processes. And so we're trying all kinds of preventative measures and trying to see what works. The problem is, everybody says, you know, things work for a while, but then after a while, the wolves acclimate. They say, oh, that's just flickers. That's not going to be a problem. I can just still go and have my dinner if I want. So, yes, the Wolf Foundation, they're supportive of, you know, having wolves in California, but they also understand that it's created a real quandary and a real financial problem for the ranchers. And, you know, there's been a study done by Dr. Ken Tate and his wife, Tina Tate. They're both UC Davis professors. Unfortunately, Ken Tate passed away unexpectedly last year, but they did a study, and you can Google this, and the research that they've come up with is that one wolf can cost a rancher $162,000. It has that much of a financial impact, because people do not understand that not only do they kill cattle, but it impacts the fertility of the entire herd. It impacts the health of that entire herd.
Wow.
It impacts the rate of gain for those cattle, because their cortisol levels, cattle stress. really react to wolves. You know, they see coyotes trot through all the time. You know, the field, I see them, and they just kind of look at them, and if they get too close to their calf, they might kind of intervene. But it's, a coyote is just not what a wolf is.
Yeah. Coyotes don't go after beef.
They will take, if you had a pack of coyotes, they could take down a calf now and again, but it's not to the extent that wolves. Yes. It's not, they're just not as big. They're not as vicious.
It's not a common problem like you're having with wolves.
No, it's not. We've coexisted with coyotes forever. And you can hunt coyotes, and coyotes have a healthy respect for humans too.
Yes.
They
yes.
really do, because they know they get too close, that could be a problem for them.
And I can remember in my lifetime, earlier, I think I was in high school, might have been a little bit after, when they started giving people, I think it was $10 for coyotes.
Yes.
And which I think helped keep a greater balance.
Right.
But there's no bounty on wolves. They're protected.
No, not in California. Yeah. There is not anything we can do. And one thing,
which seems kind of out of balance in itself.
Yes, and Doug LaMalfa did do a presentation on the congressional floor about, and he brought very gruesome pictures, you know, posters of what what this really looked like, what was happening. But of course, as you know, he's passed away. Next week, we've been contacted by Congressman Jared Huffman's office, and we're planning a roundtable discussion with about 15 people in Siskiyou County and the various ag leaders and the supervisor at Valenzuela, and Sheriff LaRue is going to be invited. And so hopefully, and Jim and I've already had conversations with Congressman Huffman at a different time, and he was at least open to talking about it. And I'm hoping that we can make some real progress next week if he ends up being our congressional representative in Northern California. So yes. Wish us luck.
Yes, really. So you were also talking about earlier in the program, in 2024 was the worst year you've seen yet, and you lost how many cattle?
We had 20 confirmed in that year. We lost one confirmed last year, and we're nervous now because it's, you know, what happens in the summertime, the babies or the cub, or what, not cubs,
pups.
I'll get it right. We just had a bear cub in our yard, so I've got cubs on my mind in MacArthur. But, you know, the pups, you know, they start getting hungrier and having more eating needs. And so, you know, you start getting more nervous, and there's more mouths to feed. And I know the den is very close to where we operate.
Yes.
So it's very disconcerting. And there's no other real cattle. Well, there's some cattle, but they're not that close. And so we're kind of the first, you know, it's driving down the road and there's the first McDonald's and they want to drive through. So
yeah, really. They go, here's the best feed.
Yeah.
You said, I want to make sure I heard you right, that one wolf cost a rancher how much?
$162,000. And that's just over a period of time on a herd. You know, that's what one wolf can have that kind of impact, that kind of financial loss.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you take into account, again, I go through fertility, if a cow won't breed or if she loses her calf from stress, if a cow develops a health problem, if a cow, you know, you have your steers that and your heifers that you raise for market. In our case, we, you know, slaughter our beef and provide that for meat for, you know, local retail markets. And in the Bay Area, we sell a lot of beef. But
and do the biomedical, too.
And we do the biomedical, yes. So, and again, our problem is that's another thing, that the new state budget, they have taken out any compensation for ranchers for this year or next year.
Which makes things worse.
Which is worse. And we can't go out and buy cattle, but other ranchers could. And of course, cattle are really expensive right now. This isn't helping the consumer.
The economy, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, the fewer animals you have, the more the... And I can guarantee you, we are not making money. We're losing money right now. It's even though people probably think we're getting rich, not the case.
And I hear people complain all the time about the price of beef.
I don't blame them.
Yeah.
But it's not that we're making the money. You know, our insurance costs have just skyrocketed, quadrupled, quintupled, or whatever. The cost of fuel, the cost of the packaging, everything that we do, so much more expensive than it was even 5 years ago. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
And so, no, we can't double the price of meat. And so it's a problem. And so this isn't helping anybody.
You know, the hard part is, too, where you're not allowed to take action. Say, if you see wolves going after your beef, it would seem reasonable that you could stop the wolf with force if needed.
No. No, you can't. Well,
is there a way to change that?
Well, the one thing that we talked to Megan Hurdle about is if the rancher had the ability to at least use rubber bullets or something. I mean, you're a... MFT, would know behavior modification is something that I really think is important.
Yes.
We need to, but I don't know if that will even work after a period of time.
And the problem is you can't be out there all the time.
No, you can't be there 24/7. And if you've got a lot of people have ranching operations that are many, many acres. And so you can't be everywhere at any, you know, and like I say, I go onto Facebook and people say, well, you're just not protecting your cattle. You're not doing this and you're not doing that. And I'm going, you know,
right.
Come on up. And then the other thing I would want to say is, and we had one person in the audience Sunday night that said, Well, I'm a vegan and you're killing cattle. And I just sat there and smiled, didn't react to her, but she got quite verbal. And I wanted to ask her, I said, well, the wolves are killing cattle. How do you feel about that? You know, that's what I don't understand. Plus, you can't have it both ways.
Plus two, vegan, you're killing plants.
Right.
I mean, that is the way things are. Maybe you're not killing an animal, but you're killing a plant. And now we know plant has consciousness too. So yeah. Hello.
Well, and the other thing is too, there's so many, other products that come from beef that people don't understand or realize.
Yeah.
It's out there. They're in all kinds of things. So, Yes. So anyway, but that was, you know, always interesting.
So one of the reasons I always do these programs is to not only educate the community and give information, share information, but also to invite people to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so if people want to get involved and learn more, I know they can go on the internet and see a lot of things, but are there things that you think that people should tune into? You mentioned that film that'll be coming out.
Yes.
Watch for that.
Right. And I cannot remember the name of it. It was something about Rangeland Productions or something, but I just can't off the top of my head remember what they called it, but it will be coming out, and it's a very well done documentary. I really related to the sheep farmer that they interviewed there, and he really tried to impress upon the audience that, you know, we care about our animals. We really do. And so wolves have not the best reputation, and they talk about that in the documentary, and you know how in history they've been vilified, kind of like, well, they've been justifiably vilified. Well, I think anyone that's had to live close to them and experience what they've done, there's not a real positive attitude about wolves, and that's the problem. And so, you know, we're great believers in wildlife. We have all kinds of wildlife-friendly fencing and in our water troughs. If a raccoon was drinking water and fell in, we have little ramps they can run,
get out.
And I mean, we provide all. We have a Point Blue Conservation Project on our Anderson Ranch right now. We're doing all kinds of habitat improvements for birds, and so we're all about wildlife. But this is not your typical situation.
So I've grown up in Northern California and have known a number of ranching people, lived on mm-hmm. a ranch early in my life. And to me, it reminds me of the Native American consciousness, because ranchers have a relationship with the land.
We do.
They have a relationship with the stock, the type, whether it's sheep
mm-hmm.
or cattle or whatever it is.
Right.
You know, it's not just a business. It's not about making money. It's a way of life.
Right. And it's
respect.
It's really not about making money either.
Yeah, at this point it isn't, is it?
No. No, it's a way of life, and it's an investment in your life. It's kind of in your DNA a little bit. And so, especially, I grew up around livestock my entire life, and I was never not around them. And so it's really imperative that people understand ranchers, for the most part, are not anti-wolf. They're just want to protect their property.
Right.
And there's got to be the ability to protect our property, especially in California, which is what we try to emphasize on, is that we do not have the food sources for wolves at this point in time.
Yeah.
They're targeting cattle.
The point is, it's out of balance.
Absolutely.
And it's costly not only to the rancher, but it will be costly to the consumer. It is costly mm-hmm. to the consumer. And so I think it's really important for us to realize the real goal is balance.
Right.
And tying someone's hands, the ranchers in this case, from taking action to protect
our own property
seems out of balance to me.
Well, the wolves are coming to us.
Yeah.
We don't use any federal allotments to graze our cattle or anything. They're coming onto deeded land, irrigated pastures. They're coming down to us.
Yes, yes. If you just joined us, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I'm Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. Our topic today is interesting. It's called Reintroduction of Wolves in California and the Impact on Ranching. So our guest today is Mary Rickard. She and her husband, Jim, are ranch owners, and she is of Prather Ranch specifically, and former Shasta County Board of Supervisor. So Mary, we've been talking about Siskiyou County a great deal, where mm-hmm. Prather Ranch is located. What about things you've heard about Shasta and Tehama County as an example?
Right. Well, Shasta County has definitely been hit. We haven't been hit too much down here on the valley floor, but we have very much had a problem in off of Day Road, and that's far eastern Shasta County. And I know of ranchers up there that have lost a lot of cattle. And wow. Their property kind of runs into Siskiyou and runs into Modoc. And so it's a little complicated, but they kind of touch on several different counties. And then I know that there's been losses in basically around the general area of the Intermountain area, the Fall River Valley. I have a friend who lives out in Lassen County, just on the border, basically the border of Shasta County. And she has four kids, and it's out on a ranch that's very remote. And she says, just for the kids to go to the barn, she says, I have to give my teenager a gun to walk out to the barn.
Wow.
So
because of the wolves.
Because of the wolves.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's what people need to understand, is that I don't go outside at night anymore. I just don't. And you just have to be cautious, and they're coming into homesteads. We have some good friends. I mean, many, many, many years we've been friends with a ranching family in Susanville, in Lassen County, and they had wolves come in and kill the old family horse.
Wow.
Right in a corral right by the house.
That's scary.
And then in Sierra County, they've had wolves kill elk on the front porches of houses. And so they're coming in and being very, very aggressive, and they're just not afraid. Tehama County has also had problems, mostly on the eastern side. We ran cattle in Pascana this last winter. Didn't seem to have a problem, but I talked to ranchers out that run cattle out there, and they said they saw them out in the western side. I haven't heard of many problems in western Shasta County, but eastern Shasta County, Hat Creek has been hit very hard. The Bidwell Ranch and various ranches along in there, the Bosworth Ranch in Caton Valley, they are all experiencing problems with wolf kills.
And you know, sometimes I think people are very well intended, thinking that whatever species used to be here needs to be
right.
Reintroduced. But I do think people that live in cities sometimes think that rural parts of California are not populated and don't have ranches,
right.
That it's all wild and you're just bringing these. Yeah, it's not.
You know, and they didn't have the city of Los Gatos named Los Gatos for nothing. Those were mountain lions.
Yeah.
And then there's the city of Los Osos down by Morro Bay. That's the bears.
Yeah.
So, you know, I remember we had a mountain lion killed. Well, it's basically 30, killed a bunch of our sheep one day. Just a few feet from our house. And so this was when my daughter was in high school, and they asked her to be part of a panel to go to Sacramento and talk about it. And I remember sitting in the audience in the Senate hearing, the state senators were basically falling asleep. They weren't really listening. But it wasn't but 3 days later, a woman was killed in Auburn on a hiking trail by a mountain lion.
Yeah.
And so it does happen, and there's no way you can prevent it, but we need to have the ability to protect ourselves. I just
yes.
don't think that that's an irrational desire. I
yes.
think we want to protect our families, our children, our grandchildren, and I think that CDFW needs to understand that there needs to be some compromise. There needs to be some real collaboration.
Yeah.
And hoping that improves as time goes on.
Yes. And you know, to think that you can't go from the house to the barn in a safe way without carrying a firearm because of
right.
the wolves is not, to me, what being in nature should be about. It shouldn't be that
no.
high a risk.
I mean, that's kind of the way people had to live in the 1800s.
And, yeah.
And so I'd like to believe we've evolved a little bit since that.
And I, you know, I don't want to get us off topic, but I know there's conversations about reintroducing yes. grizzly bears. Yes. And, you know, conversations I've heard with people, they'll say, well, the grizzly bears, people went out and eradicated them because of them impacting humans. Mm-hmm. So why can't we have some sort of balance? Don't you think balance is what we're looking for?
Yeah, it's interesting you should bring up grizzly bears. I was on the emails this morning, and we subscribe. We have a, there's a kind of a news service. It's an agricultural related one. It's about beef cattle. And there was an article on there, and there was a photo of, I think it was in Montana, a rancher had gone out. It wasn't far from the farmstead. And there were seven, he got a picture of seven grizzly bears.
Oh my.
And he was able to take a gun and to basically shoot the gun off and haze them and scare them off. And that's kind of a limited tool that we have. They're pretty
aggressive.
Well, the animals are aggressive, but the California Department of Fish and Wildlife doesn't want you to do that kind of thing. So we need to continue to have reasonable solutions. And yeah. that was the main theme I tried to convey to the audience on.
Hold on.
The main thing I was trying to convey to people is that we need to have some ability to protect our property, and we need to have the tools to do that.
Especially when the wolves are coming into your property.
Absolutely.
It's not like you're going out for them.
No.
They're coming to you.
They're coming there. And there's incident in Sierra Valley was hit very hard. And Sierra Valley's a little different than a lot of, it's not like Siskiyou County or really Shasta County. It's got several ranches, many, many ranches. But in the valley, it's flat. The ranchers are next door to each other. So if a rancher chased the wolves, you know, the wolves left his property, they just go onto the neighbors.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. And so yes. you're not solving the problem. You're just pushing it onto your neighbor. And that's the last thing we want to do.
Yes, yes.
So I really encourage people to get involved. And, you know, if they have the time, if they have any interest, you know, let their state senator, Senator Daly, know. I did talk to Heather Hadwick the other night. She's our assemblywoman. And she's really been a warrior on this whole thing. And so I appreciate all that she's done. And again, I've talked, you know, Doug LaMalfa's office. He's no longer with us. We got James Gallagher now. And see what happens with the election in November. But, you know,
whether it's Gallagher or someone else.
Gallagher or if Congressman Huffman continues to be a congressman or not,
yes.
we'll see. But, you know, basically we need to reach out to those that are the policy makers, the decision makers, so that we are not at their mercy.
Yes. And it's good for people to realize you can go online to their websites and you can email them directly.
Absolutely.
You could write a letter. There's addresses. I like email because it's quicker.
Right.
And, you know, develop a conversation and
That's
let
right.
them know what your thoughts are. And to do it in a respectful way, because we mm-hmm. usually gain more ground by
That's
being
right.
respectful. And I know some people out there listening will be pro wolf and don't want to hear about the impact upon ranchers. But the reality is, it's not only an impact upon ranching, the cost of beef, the many aspects, like you have the biomedical aspect
right.
to
mm-hmm.
yours, but also safety for individuals going out into
public safety is a big deal too.
Public safety is huge.
Yeah. And I want to emphasize, we're not all ranchers are not like the TV program Yellowstone. People yeah. just have to get that whole concept out of their mind, because that's not reality.
Yes.
Where it's hard work, it's long hours, and it's very emotionally draining when you have to go through what we've had to go through.
And it's really a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the DNA and the individuals handed down from generation
that's
after
right.
generation. It's a relationship and love for the land and mm-hmm. for that whole way of life.
It really is.
And that is something I would say, from raised in Northern California, we consider that relationship sacred
mm-hmm.
and have reverence not only just for cattle, but all forms of life.
Right.
And so I think that's what people sometimes don't realize,
mm-hmm.
that ranchers are about the health and wellness of the whole system.
Are less likely to have these huge mega fires.
Yes, there's that too.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mary Rickard. I want to remind Mary, myself, and our listeners, we want to make this day and every day A Day to Enjoy Exceptional Living. Thank you for joining us.